Yeah. highest King would welcome me. I was lost and he brought me in. Oh, his love for who the sun sets free. Oh, it's free. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free.
I am chosen.
just one touch from you. Put aside all distractions, 'cause I came for you. I came for you. I came for you. More than ever. Nothing else satisfies. Jesus, take me deeper, 'cause I came for you. Yes, I did. I came for you. Desire The atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of with your love, your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. Overflow in this place, fill our hearts with your love. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Feel our hearts with your love, your love. Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord.
We gotta sing that again.
For a miracle can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. For the Spirit of the Lord is here.
If you need God to touch you, your body, or just any kind of circumstance, just lift a hand to God by faith right now and just ask God to do it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you see every individual hand, every level of faith that's here tonight. Increase our faith and respond to it, we pray. God, it's not hard for you to do these kind of things. It's easy for people who will believe, who will stand their ground and will not be satisfied until that prayer is answered. We give you thanks and we believe it to be done in Jesus' name. Somebody say a good, strong Sunday night. Amen. 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 Would you do me a favor and get to about, a lot of people tonight. I just feel like this is a lot of people kind of welcome. Get around to about 12 or 13 people and just say, I'm glad that you're here tonight. If you would, please. And then you can be seated. Come on, get a few people to know that you're glad they're here. Be fantastic. Ushers, you're coming. Yep. Thank you. Ushers are coming. Praise God. Praise God. Beautiful. Thank God for His family. Thank God for His people. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful presence of God. Thank you. Praise God. So glad that you're here. We welcome everybody here in-house and those online. We're glad that you've joined us. Amen. Let's welcome all of our guests tonight, online and in person. Amen. The ushers are still coming. I caught you off guard, didn't I? Come on, ushers. It's time to give. If you're watching online, we're glad that you are. We've got some great upgrades coming to you very soon. But if you're getting fed by this online service that's being available to you, why don't you just respond by giving today? You can do that very easily by going to hashtag. You know, I look at a camera and then they switch cameras on me. I look at this light, then light. I think they're just trying to make me dizzy, but whatever. But just give. Hashtag donate. If you go in the comments, that's a very quick and easy way for you to give. And the Bible says that where you're getting fed, you ought to respond to it in some way. And so we don't want your tithes. That goes to your church. But if you want to sow a seed into what God's doing here, it'd be a great blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing in Charleston. But we also thank you for what you're doing all over the world. And thank you for every door that you've opened to us to be a blessing. And we know that that's not the end. There's just the beginning of what you're going to do. We pray that you'll take these gifts that we give, their seeds. And God, in essence, we're never really giving anything away. We're laying up treasure. Praise God. And so we're grateful for what will be produced out of what we give tonight. And in Jesus' name we pray it all. Everybody said a good amen. 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 God bless you tonight as you give. Let me just share a couple of important things that you need to know about. Starting tomorrow is our summer fast. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Now we didn't say a lot about it this morning for time's sake. But tonight I'll deal with it a little bit more. But over the next 3 days, we're fasting. And I know spring is still here, but we're fasting and praying for what God wants to do this summer in our lives. And so however you want to fast, whether you fast a meal a day, 2 meals a day, 3 meals a day, whether you do a Daniel fast or just an all fluids fast, whatever. I think I'm going to do a Daniel fast this time just the way. But I think you've got to be led in that is what I'm trying to say. You have to be led in how God wants you to do that. And so tomorrow is my wife's birthday, so we're going to have a birthday watermelon. Put a candle in it, and that'll be a blessing. Amen, right? And then, starting tomorrow is our summer reading. 90 days that we read through the New Testament. And what Jamie and the other folks are able to do to help you in this, if you'll text SUMMER90, S-U-M-M-E-R 90, to 313131, then every day you'll get a text that will tell you the day's reading, and often they'll put a bit of an inspirational statement in there for you to know about it. But this summer, very easy, 2 to 3 chapters a day. 2 to 3 chapters a day, that's easy, that's a cinch. But I'm excited about rereading the life of Christ, the beginning of the church, and the power of what God did through the church, and then end in the book of Revelation, hearing about how Jesus Christ will become Lord of all the kingdoms of the earth. Amen. How many of you have read the whole Bible through? How many of you have read the whole Bible through? How many of you have read the whole New Testament through? Boy, if you haven't, it'll be a great blessing to your life. You'll know what God's doing in this great new covenant that He's given to us. Wednesday night is First Wednesday at 7 o'clock. There's something for everybody. Nursery, Kids on the Move, Ignite, I forgot the name, and Soulfire will be taking place. Ignite and Soulfire combined together in the Fellowship Hall. And we've got some great plans for that Fellowship Hall. We're going to be doing some upgrades, which I'll tell you about. We'll be raising some money towards the end of this month. And we're excited about that. It's going to help a lot of different ministries in the church. It's going to be a huge upgrade. I can't wait for you to hear and see what all of that is about. All right, next week is baccalaureate, 9:30. So all of the graduates from high school and college can come and be a part of that. Please see Paul or Heather Rogers or check out cchurch11a.info and know about that right there. Hey, Christian, stand up. This is Christian. Turn around, let the people see you, handsome man. And this morning, Anthony announced that Christian will be stepping up as the leader of the Ignite ministry. And so he is going to do a great job. This young lady beside him is his fiance. Every man wants a fiance. Every man wants a fiance. Eventually, and every lady wants a fiance, but this is Kylie. Go ahead and stand, Kylie. Now, believe it or not, stay right there. Let him look at you. I know you're not going to believe this, but that's Wayne Meserve's granddaughter. I know. I don't know how. Must have been Deborah. It must have been Deborah. That we all know that's true, right? We all know that's right. They're engaged to be married in December, and so what? Oh, I'm sorry, Faye, I didn't see you sitting there in the dark. I so apologize. I heard this voice from my side, and I was thinking, I hope security is on tonight. I don't know what's going on here. But it was just another grandmother. Yes, Faye, stand. Let's all give Faye a hand. Oh, come on. She wants... Yeah, you got it. That's your reward right there, too. I'm going to preach about that in a minute. If you were expecting a reward, you just got it right there. Sorry. Jeff, get a hold of her, would you? Good Baptist man ought to be the head of his home. So come on now, get with it. Oh, making friends already. I haven't even started preaching yet. Let's see, was there anything else I needed to take care of that I'm really excited about? There's a senior bus trip. Wow, I just came to my mind. There's a senior bus, and Father's Day's coming up. There's just like, whoever's back there saying, get with it. Okay, Father's Day wiffle ball tournament. That's going to be a lot of fun, and the adult trip. And what I just said before, Father's Day is going to be fantastic. Wiffle ball, how many of you have ever played wiffle ball? Anthony, would you please stand? I'm just kind of getting business done. Anthony is leading the first wiffle ball tournament. And we're going to do that up at the Higgins Ball Field after service on Father's Day. Big barbecue, ice cream. There's going to be a bounce house there for the little ones and big ones, if you like it. And games. And it's just going to be a wonderful afternoon. No service that evening. We're just going up there to spend Father's Day together. And it's going to be a fantastic time. And I just wonder who's going to pull an ACL playing wiffle ball. I just wonder who's going to get hurt. I can't wait just to see that happen. Amen. I'm gonna get Malcolm out there playing, and we'll call the Charleston Fire Department and the ambulance before we start. Praise God! You know Malcolm's been in church all year and he hasn't passed out once. Would you open your Bibles to the Book of Matthew? So far, so good. It's been a year of miracles. We haven't called the hazmat team or anything this year. It's been I just got a lot to give God thanks for tonight. How about you? One more time, would you stand together with me? I know that, but it's Sunday night, and I always challenge to keep your attention. Praise God. I'm so glad that you're in God's house tonight. Are you ready for God to talk to you? I was blessed this morning. Wow, God is moving here. And boy, it seems like Sunday mornings are like Sunday night, and then Sunday night's more like just kind of plowing a bit. But how many will help me? Let's contend that God will move in every single service that takes place in this place. And we're thankful. A lot of new families are coming into the church. A lot of great things are taking place. We're so excited about it. And so Matthew chapter 6, I really want to inspire you by the word of God for about 25 minutes. And the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 6, if you've got it, go there. And you can see on here, cchurch11a.info. We'll have the sermon notes. And again, like I said this morning, I can't promise that I'll stick with them, but at least you'll know what I tried to get done, or at least what I came to the pulpit intending. Praise God. I still don't know where my hat is, though. Paul Rogers, have you seen that? Did anybody see my hat and robe? Is it out there? All right, thank you. Because that's the only hat they make on the planet that fits my great big Goliath head. So I don't want to lose the one hat that fits me. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 says, when you pray, don't be like hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. How many of you want rewards that man cannot provide? That's what I'm going to talk about tonight, a reward that no man could provide to you, something bigger than what the man's best is small compared to what God can do. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, speak to every one of us tonight. We want to develop such strong prayer lives that will reflect in such victorious public lives. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. You can be seated. If you'd open, leave your Bible there to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm just kind of going to dig around there a little bit, and I don't know what that is, but you'll just need to look on your device or on your own Bible right there. Matthew chapter 6. How many of you got your Bible with you? Have you got it? Just go ahead and look back there at it. And it says this, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly. When you pray, look what he says. I tell you the truth, that's all the reward that they're going to get. Jesus is highlighting the protocol to prayer, which is a fundamental, necessary discipline of a victorious Christian. And it's so good to see Dave and Michelle Malo here tonight. I love you guys. I just saw them in the parking lot. And are you still living way over in Newburgh or Plymouth? They made a trip to be here tonight. They make a trip to be here every week. So good to see you. All right. Matthew chapter 6 says that when Jesus said, when we make requests to be impressive to men, all we can get is man's reward. In other words, Jesus is saying that there is a reward for doing it for the people. Okay? We've been often told that we should not do it, and it's true, but Jesus is making the statement that sometimes we can do things publicly to impress people. But if that's all we have in our lives is a public, impressive ability, then all we'll get is what man can do for us. We'll be very limited. You know, I know that we all have jobs, and I know that we all have public lives. But if that's all there is to our life is what we do, we live for the applause. But what happens when the applause stops? We're in trouble. And so Jesus is saying, I'm teaching you how to live a victorious life that does not ride the wave of popular opinion or vocal acceptance. He says, I'm teaching you how to be a better person than a personality. Okay? How many of you have met somebody and the better part of them was when you first met them? And then it just went downhill after that. And what Jesus is teaching is that the better part of you is what happens privately, not what happens publicly. Can I get an amen here tonight? All right? So don't master your public stuff without mastering your private stuff. He's not saying that we should be sloppy. He's not saying that we shouldn't give our best. He's not saying that we shouldn't have excellence and Christian workers should be the best workers and Christian parents should be the best parents and Christians should be people who give it their best. We don't have to be the best, but we ought to give it the best. But don't do all that without giving your best privately as well. Okay? All right. Verse 6. But when you pray. Now watch this for a minute. He's making a divine exemption. He says the hypocrites do religion this way. But he says, you can't do it that way. You have to do it differently. Please hear what I'm going to tell you. In other words, he is saying, they can get away with it, but you can't. How many of you know people that just seem to be getting away with it all the time, and then you run one red light? You know people that are breaking every law of the road, and it seems like they're never caught. And you one day you're late to work, and there's four troopers on the way to work. Hello? He's saying, these other people can pray this way. He says, but not you. You can't get away with that. You need some self-inspection. The reason you can't get away with what other people are getting away with is because you've developed a closet life, a prayer life. When you develop a prayer life privately, you're developing a discipline and a resistance that people who don't have a private prayer life do not have. Either I'm not communicating that right, or you just get it and you want me to move on. Okay, I don't even know either. Now you're making me guess, so I'll just keep digging, okay? No problem. When I start prayer in the morning, and the first thing my practice is, when I pray in the morning, is I say, Lord, I consecrate myself to you. I need you to evaluate me. Because I don't want to take God's attention and absorb some of God's time if he's got something that he wants to change in me. Okay? I'm not doing it to get accepted. I'm not doing it to get my prayers answered, actually. I'm doing it because I don't want to live a life that's displeasing to him. And so if I don't daily spend time examining and allowing the Holy Spirit to examine not only my actions but my intentions, if I leave that, I can find myself just kind of veering away from having a pure heart before God. I'm not saying I do that because I'm better than anybody. I'm saying I do that because I'm not better than anybody. I'm not saying I do that because I'm strong. I say that because I do that because I'm weak. And I've found out that there are a lot of preachers that are getting away with a lot of things, but I don't want to be one of those. How many of you know a lot of Christians that are getting away with a lot of stuff, but you don't want to be one of those? I preached this morning to try to tell you, we want to be that church that says the dirtier you are, the more welcome you are in the church. But just know, this is the place where God cleans his people up. Right? I don't want to be satisfied with just getting by. And so the other, I'm not going to tell the whole story because I'm going to leave it for one of Darcy's sermon illustrations. But the other night we were on Broadway, and I think I could have cut in front of somebody to get into Moe's restaurant. I might have. I don't have it on camera, but I might have. Okay? I don't want to incriminate myself, but and whoever that was that I slid in on didn't like it. And they followed me right into Moe's, right in the parking lot, and parked right beside me. And when he parked on my wife's side, and when my wife got out, I could hear this guy running his mouth at my wife. And there's a very thin fuse inside of me that you know about, right? When it comes to anybody disrespecting my wife or my children, like I'm just Kung Fu Louie right now. And when I got out and I heard him saying something to her, all I could hear from my wife was, Matthew! Matthew! Because I come around the car and I made a beeline right toward his space, and I got right in his space right now. My face said it, my voice said it, my body language said it. It was not good. And she disappeared. She went inside with our daughter, and by the time he and I were done, we shook hands. I wouldn't call us friends, but we shook hands. I came in, man, I just... So the next morning, I go to prayer. Because I kind of feel like I'm the man. I'm the alpha in my house. And I got to prayer, and I said, okay, now, you know, it's just, all right, now, Lord, examine me. Is there anything in me that you could find? Is there anything? And I could hear the Holy Ghost say, well, now, as a matter of fact. And I'm not going to tell you what he told me because it's none of your business. But there was something in that that needed to be corrected. And I would not have heard that if I did not get alone before God. And if I don't get alone before God, and I don't get that corrected in me, eventually I'm going to do something that's going to embarrass everybody. No, I just know me. I just know me. And so, and you know you, so I'm not like humbling myself before you. You get all kinds of carnality. We've all seen it. Your wife wants me to preach this. Your kids need you to hear this. Come on. That there are some things in our, and so when Jesus says to his followers, look, this is how some religious people do it, but not you. I expect more of you. But how many are all right? Because if God expects more of you, that means he wants to do more through you. So I'm all right with that. All right? I'm all right with that. God builds you in the garage before he puts you on the showroom. And the private closet life is where he sands you down and bondos you and paints you and waxes you and vacuums and cleans. And then after all that work is done, he puts you on display to be a trophy of his grace, not to be an attraction to who you are. Amen? So Lord, when we go to the prayer closet, the Lord will say, that's where I put the leash back on you. And he gets, okay, I think you got it. All right. But when you pray, go away by yourself and shut the door. I love the fact that there are spaces that God decides he'll work. Wherever you find that God works in your life, make regular visits there. Hello? How many of you have ever been in a place and God ministered to you in that place? Do you ever go back there? You don't make a shrine out of it, but do you ever visit that? There are places at this altar that God has met me, and there are many times I'll go back to it. There are different places, and I love to go back. You know, remember Naaman, the great king, who was offended at how the prophet said he should be healed? But when he finally did obey and get baptized in the Jordan 7 times, and his body was clean from leprosy, the Bible says he actually took a bucket full of dirt and took it back home to his Gentile land. Why? Because there's something precious. God has certain spaces that he works. Jesus went to his hometown to do miracles, and the Bible says he couldn't do any. Why? Was it because he wasn't anointed? No. He was highly anointed. The people didn't accept him. There's one thing stronger than the anointing. It's your culture. There's one thing that stops miracles, your mentality. It wasn't that Nazareth was cursed. It's just that the people in that place did not respect him, and so the place that could have been holy and healing became a place of disappointment. And the point I'm trying to make to you is that God has reserved miracles, power, signs, and wonders for certain spaces, and we find tonight that one of them is your prayer closet. How many of you want to go there? How many of you got some need to get to some places where God does some miracles? Okay? But when you pray, go away by yourself and shut the door. Somebody say that, shut the door. Shut the door. Just fun to say it that way. How many of you have ever had somebody come to your house and they leave the door open? It's rude to leave the door open. I don't know if you know that. Were you raised in a barn? They shut barn doors. If somebody comes to your house in January and they leave the door open, what's coming in? The cold. Shut the door. If you leave the door open right now, what's coming in? Black flies. Shut the door. If you leave the door open overnight, or you leave the house, what's coming in? A criminal. Shut the door. Jesus says, shut the door. Go to the right room in your house where you can get alone with God and shut the door. Now, I know that many times we think praying alone like this, shut the door, means you get into a place where nobody is and you shut your phone off and you shut the TV off and you tie the cat to the door and you just, because they never bother you till you pray and then you get alone. But that's not what he's saying. He's not saying shut the door like that's on the hinges. He's saying shut the door to fear. I was praying this week and I was like, Lord, would you teach me? I want to learn. What does it mean to shut the door? What does it mean? And the Lord was saying, that's a term of authority. Come on, if you can give me 12 more minutes, I think you'll get something here that could help you Tuesday. The word shut the door is really a spiritual authority. Does anybody here not get distracted any time until it comes to get on your knees and pray? Like your wife says to you, what are you thinking? And you say nothing, and you're telling the truth. But the moment you pray, you think about everything. The moment you pray, you begin to think about her hurts you. The moment you pray, you begin to think about somebody who backstabbed you. The moment you pray, you get reminded of the past. The moment you pray, you begin to get tempted. The moment you pray, you begin to think about just walking away from the Lord. And God says, when you pray, you're going to get attacked, and you've got to take spiritual authority and say, I shut the door on everything the enemy's trying to do in my life. When you go to pray, you have spiritual authority to say anything from the past has no influence on my future. You have spiritual authority to say the sickness in my body shall be healed in Jesus' name. Is anybody hearing the preacher tonight? You have authority to say, I'm not going back, I'm going forward. Devil, I shut the door on you and you have no more access in my life. Say it with me, shut the door. Shut the door. Thank you. He likes it over there. You have, the Bible says in Isaiah, watch this, 22:22. It's not up there. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. So he shall open and no one will shut. And he shall shut and no one will open. When you leave the door open, it's also a picture of compromising your life to go back to the old life. You cannot leave. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm just leaving my options open? I'm not closing any doors. How many have ever heard somebody say that? When it comes to spiritual decisions, you can't leave your options open. I don't know if I don't know if I'll be spirit-filled or not, or I don't know if I'm going to serve God or not. I don't know if I'm going to have my kids serve the Lord or not. No. You need to shut. You need to shut the door. I have decided to follow Jesus. Come on, there's power in a decided person. I've just decided I'm going to serve God the rest of my life. Now, the reason, y'all okay? The reason God requires that we shut the door is not so that he can hear our prayers. The reason God tells us to shut the door is not so that God can hear our prayers. I'm going to say it again. The reason God says to shut the door is not so that he can hear us. We shut the door so we can hear him. If you're here and you say, I pray and God never talks to me, I would suggest you left the door open and the breeze of the world is coming in. The winds of false doctrine are getting involved in your life. The temptation of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life have gotten in. You need to shut the door so that you can hear from God. Here's a beautiful example. Elijah told a woman, you're going to have a child. It was a miracle, and she did. When he went to visit her again, the boy had died. How many remember that story? He picked the boy up. Maybe he was in the living room. Maybe he was in the kitchen. Maybe he was on the porch. I don't know where the boy was. Come on, musicians. And he picks the boy up and he goes into another room and he lays the boy down. Mama is crying her eyes out. Wouldn't you? Thinking, God gave me this child. Why did I lose this child? Elijah picks the baby up, picks the boy up, puts him on the bed, and his mama's coming in the room. This cold-hearted preacher says, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, but you can't come in here." I'll tell you, he wouldn't have made much of a pastor. Like, you have a feeling Elijah did not have a great hospital ministry. Manners, hospital manners. You know, he didn't hold your hand and rub it. So, he didn't send many flowers. And we're all for that. But this is his ministry. "Excuse me, ma'am, you're going to have to step outside." And this is what he does. He closes the door. Does anybody else think that's kind of cold? See, you don't dare to say it because you're kind of thinking I'm tricking you. Do you think it's cold, Ben? You wouldn't do that, would you? You wouldn't do that. No, you're a good boy. Nobody else would be honest. How many of you, if you were holding the boy that had just passed away and mama said, "I want to be with my boy," how many of you would just say, "Ah, get out of the room. Shut the door." But that's what he did. He said, "Shut the door." Was he being cruel? Absolutely not. The Bible says that Elijah was a man of like passions. That means if you feel excited about stuff, he'd feel excited about stuff. If you get riled up about stuff, he'd get riled up. In fact, I would say that Elijah was far more compassionate than you might think. I believe the reason he shut the door was that his heart was breaking. I've met some mighty people of faith, but I'm going to tell you, they're still human. I'm going somewhere if you just stick with me. Mighty men and women of God are still human. Don't ever forget that fact. Don't ever feel discouraged because sometimes your heart breaks. You're just as human as the rest of us. Okay? He picks up the dead boy who's a miracle and puts him in the room and he shuts the door. And I'll tell you why he shuts the door. Because if mama's in the room crying, I believe it's going to affect his faith. Is God mad? Like, is God cold? This is the thing I was thinking about. I was thinking, is God so weak that he can't respond when a mother's acting appropriately? No. Elijah did not shut the woman out the door because God was offended. I believe he shut the door so that his faith would be totally set on God and he would not be moved in his flesh. I just want you to get it. I'm trying my best. Why do we fast and pray? Because our flesh gets in the way. I'm preaching something a whole lot better than, I think you're just kind of listening. But many times when I go to pray and ask God for a miracle, my flesh gets in the way. My fear, my anxiety, my anger, my impatience. I'm not saying me, I'm saying you, but it's a lot easier if I say it's me because you won't be offended thinking I'm talking about you. You need to fast and pray and say no to your flesh so that you're not being driven by how you feel. You're being driven by what you hear. There is so much that God wants to do. It's just that our flesh and our carnality gets in the way. Our inconsistency, our anger, our impatience. Come on, somebody. Our greed, our lust, our just being a control freakazoid gets in there. And to me, God is showing me that shutting the door is a version of fasting where I put away my greatest passion, food, so that what I'm doing when I pray is I'm taking Matt Ward and you're taking your flesh and you're setting it outside the situation and you're taking nothing but the Word of God into it. And say, "Lord, you can save my child. Lord, you can save my spouse. Lord, you can save my family. Lord, you can do a miracle. You can heal. You can send revival." Come on. And look, it's a pure miracle. And look, and your flesh is not getting away. It's just God coming in. And you walk back out the door and say, "Maybe it didn't change yet, but in my spirit, I got a feeling everything is going to be all right now." It's a version of what they used to call praying through. Praying through is not an emotional release. Praying through is an emotional crucifixion. And the quicker you can kill your flesh, the quicker you can pray through. Well, it's got to wait on God 3 hours. Well, because your flesh has got so much dominion over you. I know how that sounds, but it's biblical. You're just one closing of the door away from God doing a miracle. Well, I got to labor in God in 4 hours. It's because your flesh is controlling your life. All you got to do is say no. And one of the greatest no's to say is to your belly. Oh, look at me like it's not a problem. Like I can smell the chicken right now. We got a big thing of brownies. They're 4 inches thick at the house right now. I'm going to rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ. Or just eat them all tonight. And then I'll have no problem tomorrow. I'm going to ask Darcy to serve peas all week. And I'm going to be spiritual before this whole thing is over. We had burgers somewhere. And they were like, what were they made out of? Beans? A bean burger? Is that what they call it? Is that the Bouget name for it? Isn't there a Bouget name for it? What do you call a burger that's no meat in it? Garbage, I call it. But what else? What? A veggie burger? You should call it veggie flat. A veggie, just a... I have no idea where I was going. What? A black bean burger? I have no idea why I even mentioned that. That's kind of gross, actually, so... My flesh. Okay, back to the message. That was real fun. I like this. I'll be done. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. I think you'd lift a hand and say, thank God. Hallelujah. Come on, I preached a little bit too long. Come on, how many are glad? What you get done in private, God says, I'll take care of in public. How many are ready to get some private victory so that God can get some public testimonies in the name of Jesus Christ? Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise and thank God for that. Praise God. Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 10, verse 27, what I tell you in darkness, shout abroad when the daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops to hear. In other words, when you get alone with God and you shut the door and take authority over your life, you're going to hear what God has to say. And then when you come out of the closet, you're going to have something worth hearing. Hallelujah. You're going to have something worth saying. The Bible says the mountains will move when you speak to them. Ladies and gentlemen, your situations that seem immovable just call you to a greater time of private prayer. But when you come out of it, you're going to have some authority in your words, and you're going to be able to say, in the name of Jesus, cancer go. In the name of Jesus, poverty go. In the name of Jesus, depression go. In the name of Jesus, hopelessness go. In the name of Jesus, fear go. Come on, somebody. In the name of Jesus, strength come. In the name of Jesus, hope come. You're going to have something to say. How many of you want something to say that will change the situation? That comes by getting alone, shutting the door, hearing God speak, and then go out. And wouldn't that be a whole lot easier than trying to wrestle things all by yourself? How many of you want to go to the closet life and get aligned up with God? Let's stand together tonight. Let's stand together tonight. I'm going to ask you to do this. And when you come here, I want you to know what's coming. I'm going to ask you to come. And this is my prayer tonight. I'd like to have talked to the crowd this morning about fasting and prayer, but it just wasn't time for that. But I'm going to ask you, those of you that want to, whether you fast or not, at least going into time of prayer, you say, I want to go, because we prepare our bodies for fasting, but we need to prepare our heart for prayer. I want to ask every person that says, I want to get my heart ready for this week and this summer. Come, stand around this altar, and we're just going to close in prayer right here. Real, we're going to get right to it. But you say, I really want to start getting my heart ready for this summer. I want to get my heart ready for this fast. I want to get my heart ready for what God's going to do in my life. I'm going to get my heart ready to really develop a strong closet life, a strong prayer life. I want to get strong privately so that I can give God glory publicly. This is what I want. I want to develop this private, out of everybody's sight. Heroes are made in quiet. How many remember Superman? Superman was a man in the flesh who had a fleshly job. He had he had a real girlfriend or whatever she was, but what not. Anyways, he was mortal. How's that? He was mortal. Everybody was kind of watching me veer right off the edge of the cliff right there. I could hear the people up here chuckle, here it comes. But you remember what Superman did? He got alone. He went in one way. He changed while he was alone, and he came out another way. Wouldn't it be good if you, like Superman, every morning, you go into prayer time alone, one way, but you come out another way? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? This is just a simple, this is Christianity 101, real simple. But I'm just going to ask you to just pray. We're going to pray in the Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to talk to you, but say, Lord, I want you to prepare my heart to develop the strongest closet prayer life I've ever had. In the name of Jesus, let's do that now. Heavenly Father, don't listen to me pray, but let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, prepare my heart. This is not a dead exercise. This is real business with God. Lord, prepare my heart as I fast. Lord, prepare my heart as I pray. Lord, prepare me to be ready to hear your voice. I'm going to shut the door. I'm going to shut the door to the past. I take authority over everything the enemy has planted in my heart and mind. And I'm going to become mighty in prayer, strong in private, so that I can be useful in public. Oh God, there are supermans and superwomans in this altar, mighty men and women, and they just got to go into that sacred place. God, remind us and let us value the sacred place, the holy place where you speak and hear and do miracles, signs, and wonders. Oh God, give us that location where we just sense you stronger than anywhere else. Lord, and we get there, let us be reminded we're not like everybody. We're not like other people. We're carriers of the glory. God, remind us of certain adjustments in our lifestyle and our habits and in our decisions that we must make in according to your glorious will. God, I pray that you'll put the leash on us when we go to pray every day. Put the restraints in our heart. We don't need a lot of legalism or rules. We have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Attach yourself, Almighty God. Put boundaries in us. Things we won't do, things we won't say, things we won't look at, things that we won't participate in. And then, Lord, I pray that that private time is not one of sorrow, is not of sadness, but it's of joy and of victory, because we know what we get in silence, we will receive in public. What we hear alone, we'll say in public. Come on. And in Jesus' name, we expect a reward. Come on. In the name of Jesus, every time we leave the prayer closet, let us lift our hands and say, rewards are coming to my family. Rewards are coming to my business. Rewards are coming to my life in the name of Jesus Christ. I think you ought to begin to praise God right now for the reward of praying in private. Go ahead. Go ahead. God said, if you want my reward, go ahead, but ask for it privately first. We make sacred that time alone with you in Jesus' name. Come on, begin to thank God, church. If you got any faith, you ought to thank God that the miracle, if things aren't moving, it's time to get private. Hallelujah. Is there an obstacle? It's time to go private. And when you go private, God said, I'll meet you there and I'll give you a victory public. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just begin to praise God for a minute. Just begin to honor the Lord. Begin to thank Him that He's made you worthy to be with Him. Glory to the Lamb of God. In fact, I'd encourage you to practice a little prayer time right now. Just begin to practice. What are you going to do privately? Just go ahead and begin to thank God right now. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, we love you. It's a privilege that we could have an audience with you every day. What needless pain we bear, let us carry everything to you, Lord, in prayer. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. You know, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, could you not pray with me for 1 hour? And I think he's been asking for his church to do that ever since. I think for 2,000 years he's been saying, can my people not tarry with me in prayer? Hello? How many of you want to be an answer to God's request? I'm not saying you have to pray 60 minutes, you know, get your iPhone out and set 60 minutes and watch it count down and look back at it every 2.5 minutes. Like your phone battery dies before you get 60 minutes in, right? I'm not, what's that?
You're 1 second away.
Just 1 second away and like your phone dies. Like, oh, I got to start over again. That's awesome, man. That's really good. That would be kind of defeating, wouldn't it? Oh, that was 59 minutes wasted right there. No, I'm not talking about, can you imagine if I sat down with Darcy and I took out my phone? All right, we're going to spend 60 minutes together starting now. No, no. It's not about time. The 1 hour is not about the time. It's about quality. Now, maybe you're different. For me, if I pray at 9:30 at night, God will be studying the back of my tonsils. I got to get up. I got to pray in the morning. I don't know when your time is. But how many just committed? I'm going to give God some quality time. He'd rather have a quality 20 minutes than he would just a wasted hour. And I feel like just telling somebody today, you've been doing this. You need to start putting some faith to it because God says what you do privately, I'm going to reward you publicly. How many are ready for God to do some public rewarding around this place? You know what God's been doing around this altar Sunday mornings? They're the result of somebody doing some private prayer. You know what God's doing in Dougie's life? It's a reward for somebody praying for him privately. God gave him a job this week that he said he couldn't get. But God turned it around and said, you can have that job anyways. And he got himself a good job. He's a God of great rewards. I'm ready for God's rewards. Jesus Christ healed, set free, and delivered. I still believe he does it now. Do you believe he does it now? I believe he does it now. Let's lift our hands one more time and worship. Come on, sing something and let's begin to thank God for the rewards that are coming. Begin to praise God for a minute. In my soul. I want more of you, God. Come on, how many take another touch tonight? Set a fire down in my soul
that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. There's no place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. Hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you.
I want more.
No place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. Hearing your love, lifting my name. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be.
No place I'd rather be.
No place I'd rather be.
rather be, no place I'd rather be. Here in your love, here in your, here in your, no place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. Here in your love. To set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. To set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you.
See, God wants to use every single one of us every day. But sometimes, look, you can't live off of 90-minute service on Sunday. You can't live off these worship leaders' prayer lives. You got to live off your own. But you cannot, see, so many people are struggling because they're trying to minister from within. Ministry comes from the overflow. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I get tired when I'm not ministering from the overflow. David said, my cup runneth over. What that means is the cup runneth over. How much deeper can you make it than that? I've got more than I can handle. Right? So, for those people that worship up here, if they will come up and their cup is already running over, all you're getting is what's the overflow. And if you're weary and exhausted, it's because you're not ministering from the overflow. You're ministering from yourself. But when you're overflowing, and you can overflow every day, it's so much easier. So much easier than to wait a week and then, all right, now, Lord, fill me back up. I'm sorry for you. And I don't think that you do that, but I feel, how many of you feel sorry for people? Like they can't, like they won't get any spiritual drink until next week. It's hard to stay an alcoholic if you only drink once a week. I'm afraid you'll be a failure at being an alcoholic. Well, it's hard to be spiritually strong if you're only drinking once a week. I don't know how many of you all look like you were born in church, but some of you, maybe when you were in your drinking days, you didn't wait a whole week to drink again. Oh, that Christians would be as holy as some of the drunks. Oh, that Christians would have the hot habits of an alcoholic. Right? Some of you guys don't even look at me, but every night you have to go home and have a six pack. But people get saved and they don't want to be too religious. Oh, that every day you'd have a six pack of the Holy Ghost. You can have joy that overflows every day. And it's not some big emotional jack up. You just get along with God. You begin to read the Word and say, I confess everything I read is true. And the Holy Spirit, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I tell you, that'll keep you in need of spiritual AA. All that we would come back for altar services and get around with our spiritual AA group and say, hi, my name is. And I've been getting drunk on the Holy Ghost all week long. Come on. You know, you get some sponsors. I'll be your sponsor. I'll be your sponsor. I'll hand up. You hand in the coins, but I'll be but I'll be your sponsor. And I'll say, okay, Luke, you've been drinking all week long. You've been getting joy all week long. It's okay. You're not alone. Come on, I'm preaching a whole lot better. You're all just fooey on you. You're too sober. I don't mean being silly, and I don't mean that, but how many know the world is looking for people who've got joy, who've got love, who've got hope? Come on. You go to college, go to work, go to school, you got a smile on your face. What's wrong with you? Nothing. I just got a God that I believe has got every day in control. Lord, fill us with your Spirit tonight. Amen. We're not looking for anything that's inauthentic, but we want an authentic overflow of the Holy Ghost tonight. Praise God. Let it overflow, God. Give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. Give us peace that passes all understanding. Let us know that you can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever ask or even think. Lord, I'm tired of living like you're a small God and we got big problems. Lord, let all of us live like you're a big God and we got small problems. In the name of Jesus, fill us with joy. Fill us with power. Fill us with fire. Oh, come on, Lord. Give us more. Come on, more than we could handle. More than we could handle in the name of Jesus. Come on, begin to rejoice and thank God. There's a well that won't run.